So to continue or even start with a story, a man was bothered with continual ringing in his ears, bulging eyes and a flushed face. Over a period of years he went to doctor after doctor. One took out his tonsils, another removed his appendix, and a dentist pulled out all his teeth. Nothing seemed to help. He was still troubled with ringing in his ears, bulging eyes and a flushed face. Finally, a doctor told him there was no hope and he probably only had a few months to live. He quit his job and decided to live it up in the time he had left, so started by going to his tailor and ordering several suits and shirts. The tailor measured his neck and wrote down the size 16. The man corrected him, 15. The tailor measured again, 16. But the man insisted he had always worn a size 15 collar on his shirts. Well, all right, said the tailor, but don't come back here complaining to me if you have ringing in your ears, bulging eyes and a flushed face. Sometimes the solutions to life's problems are more simple than we think. Our world has incredibly complex problems: wars, terrorism, famines, catastrophes. People, too, have complex problems, physical, emotional, and family problems. Sometimes we despair as we try to help others or to deal with our own problems. And at times the proposed solutions seem so complex that we aren't sure we can implement them. But God provides a simple solution for all of the complex problems we face in this world. It is the simple solution of the Saviour, whose birth we celebrate every Christmas. The first to celebrate were some poor, despised, and probably smelly shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They were looked down upon and excluded from society. The rabbis despised them as next door to heathen. They were involved in the mundane, the routine, but probably also temple shepherds, making sure there would be unblemished lambs to be sacrificed to God in the morning and evening sacrifices in the Jerusalem temple, not far away. And the temple flock was pastured near the town of Bethlehem. Did these shepherds perceive that they were worshipping the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? From John chapter 1. God passed over the self-important, the high priest, Herod the Great, the Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees, the theologians, the politicians, Rome and Jerusalem. But wait, does God possibly have his values misplaced? The Son of God is lying in an animal's feeding trough. And these temple shepherds saw the glory of God for the first time in centuries. As it is written in verses 9 to 11, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The Greek scripture does not say the angel, but an angel of the Lord. It is not a certain specific angel, but one sent to announce the coming of the Messiah. And the glory of the Lord flashed all around them, heavenly brightness, manifestation of God's presence and power, like at the burning bush and the tabernacle. The light was the brilliant white light of God's eternal glory. It represented the holy presence of Yahweh from Exodus chapter 24. And this was the same light that was to be seen later at the transfiguration of Jesus in Matthew 17. For over 500 years, the people of Israel had not seen the visible manifestation of Yahweh's presence, and now he revealed himself to these humble shepherds, not the high priest, the Pharisees, or Sadducees. Then in verses 10 and 11, we have the message of the angel. Angels always have something funny to say. Imagine you're startled by a heavenly messenger, then he says to you, "Stop being afraid." The poor shepherds were probably frightened out of their wits, so he calms them down by announcing good news of great joy. which will be for all people. Not just for the shepherds, but for all. The angel told them, "Fear, for today in the city of David there has been born to you a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." We could wonder if the good news is that these humble shepherds are the ones God has prepared to hear the word. Perhaps in the quietness of the night, they have reflected on the destiny of the sheep they have become attached to and are quietly awaiting the Lamb of God. And then the 18 words that form verse 11 are loaded with great truth. The city of David, Bethlehem, the one that the prophet Micah spoke of, is the location of this marvellous event tonight, for the Messiah cannot be born anywhere else. For if he had been born in Nazareth and claimed to be the Messiah, every Jewish scholar would have declared him an impostor, and rightfully so. The word Messiah is from the Hebrew word for anointed one, and also Christ from the Greek Christos, which also means the anointed one. When God became man and took upon himself true humanity, he became a baby. The wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, has been born. The hundreds of years of silence were suddenly broken. God spoke, "Today in the city of David there has been born for you a Saviour." But how do we know all that is true? Verse 12, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Perhaps Jesus was not the only one born that night in Bethlehem. Those who can't see at the back, there's a church mouse on the second step.
It's coming to see you.
Don't worry about it, Ian. This will look good on the internet, won't it? But there was not any other newborn baby found in a feeding trough that night. If that were not enough to get those shepherds on the move, suddenly a great army of the heavenly host starts praising God. Surprise follows surprise. All of a sudden, an entire army of angels descends around those shepherds. Celestial brilliance blazed all around them. Have we all celebrated the true meaning of Christmas? Do we individually know the deep, intimate peace of God? Can we sing and praise and glorify his name? The Christmas story tells us that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved, from Acts chapter 4. The birth of the Saviour brings glory to God. He alone receives the most exalted place in the universe. The chief end of mankind is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The shepherds weren't excited about meeting angels, but experiencing the glory of God's holy presence. And so the shepherds put their heads together and collectively decided to do as they had been told, and came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as they had been told. The uniqueness of our Christian faith is that each individual must come to an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. No one else's faith can count for your own. Your mother or father may have been faithful Christians. Indeed, mine were, and my paternal grandfather's faith was such that on his wedding certificate in 1905, he gave his occupation as evangelist. Their faith or good life will not save you or me. Even though Jesus Christ went to the cross and died in our place to pay our sin debt, we cannot have a right relationship with God until we acknowledge to him that we are sinners and believe on him. Eternal life is a free gift, but it is not automatic, and it is not universal. It takes a personal faith in Christ to save every individual one of us. So the first missionaries in the New Testament, according to Luke, were some crusty, old, weather-beaten shepherds who hastened to go and tell some good news. They kept searching around that night until they found the baby, and when they'd seen this, they spread the word concerning him. And what do mothers do when a baby is born? They start a baby book. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The word means to keep in mind or treasure up in one's memory. Imagine what it was like when Dr. Luke interviewed her 40 years later for this gospel. He knew the right questions to ask Mary. She is his source for this passage. And what is in the treasury of your own heart today? What are you storing up? Do you often reflect on what is there? Is there a growing experience with Christ? And finally, we read in verse 20 that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. Our response can be like them. What song are you singing this Christmas? You cannot sing unless you have a song to sing. Are you glorifying and praising God for all that you have seen and heard this last week? Has he put a song in your heart? Have you seen and heard things that cause you to go back from whence you came with a song of glorifying and praising God? The need to praise God is universal, and this passage of Scripture should encourage us to join in the heavenly choir. And indeed, it is the great thought of our Christian faith that we have a God who knows the life we live because he too lived it and claimed no special advantage over us. And a final thought from yesterday's UCB reading based on Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. In man's kingdom, your net worth is the sum total of all you own. But in God's kingdom, your net worth equals the sum total of all you've given away. We are worth only what we are willing to share with others. So ask yourself, what's your net worth? In God's eyes, it's the sum total of all you have given away. Amen. Hazel and Tina.